Hey there, welcome to Marketer for Hire. Today we are talking about getting your audience's attention through sensory writing. This shouldn't be a completely new term to you because it is something that you probably studied in your high school English class. But today we are going to talk about how to apply it to your marketing. My guest, Zafira Rajan, is a copywriting specialist who's here to share techniques, tips, and tricks that will have your audience glued to your marketing like it's the summer's hottest beach read. But before we dive in, I do have a challenge for you. After you listen to this episode, I want you to pull up your homepage or maybe your latest marketing email, and I want you to do a quick edit. Think about where you could have applied Zafira's tips to make your copy more enticing and stickier for the readers. How much better would it have been if you had applied some of these sensory writing techniques in your copy? So with that challenge in mind, let's hear from Zafira. Hi, welcome to Marketer for Hire. I'm your host, Sunny Logsdon, and I understand that not all business owners have a marketing background. That's why I'm here, to provide tips and advice on how to build the right team to unlock your business's full potential without wasting precious time and money. Each week, we'll break down complex marketing concepts into easy-to-understand pieces so that you can delegate confidently. Whether you're a business owner with a marketer on your team or you're just beginning the journey of hiring a marketer, I'm passionate about helping you maximize success. So if you're looking for ways to get the most out of your marketing budget, reduce frustration from lack of results, and provide clear, strategic marketing direction to your team, this show is for you. Hey, Zafira, thank you for being here today. I'll tell you what, I normally have people introduce themselves right off the bat, but you have such an interesting story from your childhood about losing your words. And it's really interesting how you ended up being a copywriter and how maybe that experience is connected. And so I'd love to just start with your childhood story.
Yeah, let's get right into it. But I'm Zafira, and I grew up in Kenya, actually on a chicken farm with my family, which was beautiful in all kinds of ways. And for the most part, I loved living there and surrounded by animals and nature, and it was gorgeous. And unfortunately, at the age of around 5, our home was broken into in the middle of the night, and I still remember moments from it, the glass shattering through the kitchen window and hiding in the pantry with my mom.
Wow.
And what I didn't know up until a couple years later is that after that incident, I went mute for a whole year and just would not speak. However, I have always been termed as the girl who is shy or the girl who was quiet, or folks would always be like, can you just say that a little bit louder? I would always be speaking below the volume in the room. And I had actually had to undergo speech therapy as a kid to basically get my voice back. And my mom didn't actually tell me about this whole experience. I just always thought I was a quiet kid. And, you know, after that incident, I know things weren't the same, but you're so young, right? So there was only so much you remember. But what I also started being known as from a young age, and I'm the oldest of, you know, 3 kids, was also being a good listener. So when you're not the talker in the room, you're the listener. And I always loved to listen. We always used to joke that my childhood bedroom door was the revolving therapy door. Everyone would find a way into my room at some point during the day to perch themselves on my bed and be like, let me tell you about everything that happened today. Like, I just need someone to listen. And I realized over time that listening was an amazing superpower, much more actually than speaking and talking and taking up space. And by being able to just learn how to be an active listener, learn how to really hold space for stories and emotions, while of course protecting your own boundaries and space, which has come after many years for sure. It's no surprise that I ended up falling into writing, and especially since I also used to be a bookworm, and that's how I used to spend most of my alone time, was always with my nose in a book, getting lost in someone else's story. So after going to university and studying English literature, which was my dream, reading like 3-4 novels a week and dabbling in journalism for a while, in marketing, I ended up starting my own copywriting business. And after almost 9 years, here we are.
Wow, that is such an incredible story. I read in your information that you had been mute for, was it a year, you think? Is that what you said?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was a year.
That's a fascinating backstory as to kind of how it happened. And just to me, I think psychology is so interesting. It's even more fascinating that you've ended up with a career of words. Wow, I would just love to know how our brains work and how these things connect to create the people that we end up being. But that is such a skill to be a listener. So, Zafira, what do you think it is about listening that makes you a better writer? How do you think that that impacted what you do now?
Well, I think listening at its core is also empathetic, and empathy lends itself to beautiful copy. And being an empathetic listener also means you're able to not just hear things on surface level, but you can listen for the nuance, you can listen for the stories beneath the stories beneath the stories, and you can really go to that deep place that renders itself into really powerful storytelling. You know, there's so many stories, there's so much copy we read on a daily basis. When you really think about it, like how much we digest, it's wild. But the stories that really resonate and the stories that really help us stop the scroll are the ones that can really get you in all your feels, you know, so to speak. That they'll make you feel something. They'll make you laugh. They'll make you cry a little bit. They'll make you smile. And that is because they were able to go deep somewhere. And I really think that empathy is such a huge part of it, and listening is such a huge part of it. And you're usually able to mirror something back to the reader that they aren't quite able to see for themselves, just because you have spent so much time, you know, doing your research, so to speak, by being a good listener.
Yeah. And so you term this sensory storytelling. That's kind of your specialty. And I was going to ask you, like, explain sensory storytelling, but I feel like that's kind of what you just did. It's all about eliciting people's feelings and helping them to see themselves in the writing.
Well, I would say sensory storytelling, to get really granular, is something that it's almost like a full body feeling. You know, sensory storytelling should tantalize your taste buds a little bit. It should prick up your ears. It should make your eyes sparkle, and it should give you goosebumps if it's really, really good. And I think reading good writing will evoke maybe one or two emotions, but reading sensory writing is almost like a full body poetic experience. And a lot of folks have compared my writing to, you know, business poetry or marketing poetry. And I think it's because of its ability to, you know, navigate all the senses in that way.
Oh, wow. That's a huge compliment.
I'll take it.
Yes. I mean, because business writing is nothing like poetry. It's like the polar opposite usually. And so to have that comparison, I just think is the ultimate compliment when it comes to writing. So, like, if we're thinking about how to write in that way, what are some of the key elements of sensory storytelling?
So there's three that I would love to walk us through, specifically as it pertains to emails, because I think that's where we often get tripped up the most with telling stories, but it's something our businesses need us to do quite frequently. So
yeah,
it really sucks when there's something you have to write consistently that you don't want to write and you don't know how to write. And I think it would be really powerful to just have a few extra tips in your back pocket that can really enrich the quality of what you're writing right now without even realizing that, you know, there are many layers you may not be exploring yet. So there are three ways of incorporating sensory storytelling that I think are so key and really easy for anyone to do. There is environment, dialogue, and brand recognition. And I am happy to share a little before and after of what each of those look like.
Yes.
So for instance, if you want to be more sensory in your environment, I was writing an email about a recent trip to Kenya, and I could have said something like, I can't believe it's been 3 years since I've been back to the warmth and the equator and surrounded by my family and all my favorite food. that says something, right? It's not bad, but it's not sensory. If I wanted to make it sensory, and this is what I ended up writing, was, it's been 3 years since I've walked barefoot under lush mango trees, and I've stopped to smell blooming orange, red, pink, and yellow roses swaying in the breeze outside my window, or gotten away with applying endless amounts of almond oil on my skin every morning because the humidity is embracing it, or sipped cup after cup of steaming masala chai in glass mugs. And, you know, instead of just saying something like, it's warm and I love it here, mm-hmm. I went into really concrete detail about my environment. So, you know, whether you're feeling the grass underfoot or the texture of the mug I was sipping tea in, every little detail matters if you want to pull your audience in and really let them into your world. So when thinking about writing about your environment, just think adjective, textures, sensations, mm-hmm. place. You know, I love roses and I love flowers, but I told you all the colors I was seeing. I told you that they were swaying in the breeze and I gave them, you know, a metaphor. And all those really, really tiny details start painting a super sensory experience for your reader that just goes beyond the surface.
Yeah.
And here's actually a hot piece of feedback I received from a reader from this email, which is, books who are neurodiverse in your audience actually really prefer to see the detail in writing. And I had a reader who had ADHD and she said, I was able to stay connected to these versions for much longer. And whether it's like vague writing instead, because it keeps you in the moment without minimal rereading. You want to continue on it slowly.
Yeah, I love
that. That's an example of how to do it in your environment.
Yeah, right. Because I guess for someone who is neurodiverse, it's not jumping like writing tends to do. It's actually giving you a place to land and takes you through it.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Yeah. Each sentence is an invitation to sink into it versus like hopping over to the next thing.
Yeah. And it keeps our attention. So environment was the first one. How about dialogue?
So dialogue is so interesting. And I love using dialogue because I also love to eavesdrop. It's another really good copywriting / story mining strategy. But I also think it can really take people to the room where you're in. So here's an example of an email I wrote about my postpartum hair. I have a kid who's 1.5 now. And one thing I noticed postpartum was, you know, I could have written something like, my postpartum hair is so different. It's white, it's frizzy, and I just had no idea what to do with it. So when a salon suggested its smoothing treatment, I said, yes, please. So I was tying this all to something, which I will share with you. But instead, I wrote, you know, after losing clumps of hair for months postpartum, it's finally grown back, but it's so different. It's wiry, it's white, it's frizzy. It doesn't understand the concept of gravity. It's giving Einstein energy. And in a moment of desperation, when booking a cut weeks ago with the receptionist, took one look at me and strongly suggested a smoothing treatment. You'll feel so much better and it'll totally tame your frizz, she said. And you're sure it's not going to straighten my curls, I asked. No. It'll get everything under control, I promise. And $250 later at the appointment, I emerged feeling lighter, but it wasn't until I gave it its first wash that I kind of regretted the decision. So in that moment, incorporating dialogue is a really great way to add more of a sensory feel, whether it's to clearly communicate how a conversation went, to showcasing your entire internal dialogue you might be having with yourself. That's also a form of dialogue, like you're back and forth in your own head. And it also allows you to draw a really nice parallel between whatever that conversation was and whatever, you know, the point you're trying to make might be. So for instance, the end of the email was, I think I'd written, you know, my hair just smells like chemicals. It feels like loose waves. I don't have curls anymore. It just doesn't feel like me. And even though there's parts of it that look more smoothed out, my essence is missing. And that's why it made me think of you first thing. You might have felt the same way when trying to write your own copy or hiring someone else to do it for you. You spend so much time, money, and energy to up-level your messaging, but it just feels like meh. And there's nothing that breaks my heart more than a client coming to me and saying, it hasn't felt like me in so long. So that's how I ended up connecting all of those things. But that dialogue was really critical someone reassuring me I was going to be okay, only for that not to happen. And I connect those dots to my clients having experienced the very mm-hmm. same thing. And then, you know, finding it hard to trust someone else to take the reins. So that's an example of how dialogue, I think, can really transport you.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I love that. And I love the bridge that you had from your story into what you're talking about for your business and what you want to say to your audience. I feel like I talk about this a lot here on the podcast, but, you know, I and you, we are both in kind of this online marketing world, and we start to hear these things a lot, right? Like this idea of start with a story, use a bridge, and go to your message. But if you're not in the online marketing world, if you're in the corporate world, or if you're a small brick and mortar business, and you're not learning from the same people that we are, learning from you, you know, then you don't know that, because it's not something that is a traditional way of business marketing. And so how have you kind of seen that evolve and trend in popularity?
Oh, I could record a whole episode about this. I have so many feelings about it. Well, first things first, I'm glad that it's encouraging people to tap into personal storytelling more. I think we need that. I think it helps messaging resonate more. It helps us get to know who we're investing in more when everyone leans into that side. However, I do feel sometimes that we've started to commodify our stories. And every time something happens, we're like, oh, I got to use that in something. I got to use that in an email. I got to use that here. And there is something to be said about protecting the sanctity of that too. So I find that people are struggling to know where to draw the line. Like, is this for my audience? Is this one just for me? And then on top of that, having to make that bridge doesn't always come naturally for everyone. But what I have noticed, and what you have probably noticed, is that it really is just practice. It's building a new muscle of storytelling, you know, just like how when we all first got on social media, writing a caption felt hard. Like for me, a copywriter, to squeeze everything into you know, a word count, it's my nightmare. I'm so happy we do carousel posts now and everyone loves to swipe through and read lots of copy because that's where I can shine.
Yeah.
So I think like anything, it's a learned format. It's a learned skill. But ultimately, you know, I think humans have always been storytellers and we always want to learn from others. We always know that whatever we're sharing is for a good reason. It's to teach a lesson. It's to make a point. It's to help you see something in a different light that you didn't see before. And I think we've always been doing that, but we're just using different mediums now and we're having to lean into it more. Mm-hmm. So all to say, I think that I'm happy people are telling more stories. I think that we over time learn what our boundaries are within between like, is this for my audience? Is it for me? And I think with practice and flexing that writing muscle, you know, navigating that and finding those perfect transitions are really just an acquired skill. And that's okay. It's okay to take some time to get there.
Yeah, it is definitely an acquired skill. I like what you said about it being almost like another writing muscle that you have to create because it's very different. I was a journalism major and the writing that you do, and I think you said you were a journalism major as well. So that type of writing is so very different than this type.
Absolutely. Yeah. I wasn't a journalism major, but I was writing for several outlets after I graduated. And yeah, writing story, writing a pitch is so different from writing an email now. But, you know, I can't pinpoint when exactly it happened. I'm like, oh, it feels like I've been doing this forever. You know, in digital marketing land, like a 1 year feel is like really five. So
yeah, that's right. You know, I got so into what you were saying that I think I may have cut you off from your third element because you talked about environment, you talked about dialogue, but I don't think we covered brand recognition.
That's right. Yes, it was brand recognition. And I think we all know how powerful sprinkling brand names or things we recognize into our copy can be, but they can also be very sensory. And like we were talking about before, different readers ingest in different ways, and having brand names can almost serve as an anchor in your copy. So I'll show you an example of a before and after what this could look like. I had an email I was writing from Hawaii. I was on vacation for my birthday, And I was also just soft launching my sensory storytelling membership, which is called the Tide Pool. So it all dovetailed really beautifully with an ocean theme.
Yeah. Did you plan that?
Yes and no. I kind of like to launch in a chill way. So, and it was almost, it was a downsell from another launch, but it was also a beta launch. So I was taking a very relaxed approach to it. And I also, like, if I'm on vacation, for me, like, writing an email every 3 days is like two emails over the course of the vacation, and I'm in a better place when I'm writing. So I thought I would experiment and see how it was. Anyways, I started an email, I think it was on my birthday, and I wrote, well, if I wasn't doing a sensory brand recognition version, it would have been something like, I'm writing to you from paradise in the middle of the ocean. I'm fresh from a swim and we're in this cottage we booked for my birthday week. And I finally like have a sense of peace in a long, long time. Flowers and wildlife just make me feel alive, which is why you might be surprised to hear from me right now. But I promise it's for a good reason. And if I wanted to sprinkle more sensory details and the brand recognition through it, I would write something like, I'm sitting with a Starbucks oat milk latte in my hand and my second scone of the day, fresh out of the ocean, barefoot, tanned, slathered, and Super Goop sunscreen. We woke up at 6 a.m. for a sunrise walk, and I feel a deep sense of peace and home here. I'm out of office for my birthday week. There's frangipani flowers in my hair, and there's yellow, red, white hibiscus flowers swaying in the breeze, and a U-swim bikini drip-drying on our Airbnb balcony. And as much as cracking open my MacBook sounds nothing like the above, I had to borrow my husband's to write to you. And then I proceed to just, you know, drop in details about the membership. But as you can see, zooming in on little details like brand names, like my Super Goop sunscreen or my U-swim bikini or Airbnb, plus things like what exactly I was eating or drinking as I'm writing can also be so critical in crafting a sensory experience. And it's so simple because you don't have to think too hard about it. You just have to look around you and see what is going on here right now. What is on my desk? What did I just do before coming here? What am I wearing? What am I, you know, trying to guzzle down right now? Maybe you spent your morning like frantically dropping your kids at school and you burnt your tongue on a macchiato, or you dropped your iPhone in the toilet, or you swear by this certain MAC lipstick before you head out for the day, or take a Zoom call. So taking us to where you are in that moment, what you're using with the brands attached to it can really create instant connection with your audience. And as proof of this, the most replies I got to this email were about my Super Goop sunscreen. And that's because I'm a brown girl and it is impossible for most of my life to find sunscreen that doesn't make me look like a ghost. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of Super Goop's defining feature is that it just goes on and, you know, absorbs into your skin really nicely. And a huge part of my audience are also people of color. So they're just like, yay for Super Goop. And that is the detail they latched onto out of the whole email. So that's an example of just how those things can really anchor your stories, but also enrich them at the same time.
Yeah. And it makes you relatable because it's like, oh, you use Super Goop. I use Super Goop. That's something that we can have. If I saw you at a cocktail party, we could have a conversation about that, which, you know, otherwise you're just getting this email from somebody trying to sell you something. And nobody wants that email, but they want to hear about your vacation.
Totally. Yeah. We want to go behind the scenes. We want to go behind the curtain. We want the details.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. I feel like a lot of my audience, the listeners out there, they're super busy. They are business owners. Like a lot of times they're not behind their computer because, you know, they own something that they're working at and it's not a behind the computer job, right? And so a long email, sometimes I myself wonder, I'm like, gosh, do I just need to get to the point? Do they want to hear this story? And so what has been your experience with that? Does this work for all audiences or is there a certain type of person this works for?
Well, I would say that I like to diversify, you know, my style of storytelling and also to kind of meet people where they're at in the moment while still retaining a distinct style. So my style now is, you know, I probably trained my audience to expect, you know, really like rich storytelling or to sit down and like, you know, not just like scroll through it while they're in line waiting for something. Like they want to sit down and savor it. But at the same time, sometimes I do want to drop something a little bit more short and to the point in their inbox.
But for me, I personally reserve those for things that are time sensitive, things that need your attention right now, things that, you know, like are a deadline, something is approaching. But I think that if you are, you know, wanting to tell better stories, honestly, the length to me doesn't matter as long as it's a good story and you're telling a good story. And for some people, that might look like a few paragraphs, or for others, it might be, you know, it might take you a full 10 minutes to read the whole thing. But the bottom line is everyone in your audience is going to always prefer something different. So I think it's important for you to draw your line in the sand and be like, what makes me comfortable? What is sustainable for me? And what can I help my audience expect from me? Because I think when we get into this, especially when it comes to telling stories and, you know, marketing ourselves, the thing that takes our energy and our creativity to come from, that really has to come from you. But I think when we are constantly catering to trying to make everyone else happy, you know, you start to end up with a vaguer, more convoluted message, or, you know, a strategy that is changing tack all the time. So that's why the best way to learn that is to just be writing consistently and determining, of course, what consistency is like for you. That might be every day, it might be once a week. But committing to it is important. So anyways, this is a long-winded way of basically saying it's important for you to figure out your distinct style and, you know, help your audience get on board with it. Celebrate the unsubscribes, but whatever it is, committing to that in a way that is sustainable for you is the most important part of storytelling. Otherwise, it'll suck for you. It'll suck for them. You know, I really believe people can feel the energy of your words coming through, even if it is on a screen, and they'll know whether you're doing it just for the sake of sending out an email that day versus you have something really important and beautiful to share today.
Right.
Doesn't matter how long it is.
Yeah, we can't disappear. But on the flip side, I don't believe in sending an email just because it's Tuesday at 2 o'clock. I think that we have to, if we don't have anything of value, then I don't think that that email gets sent. And so we have to be looking for how to add value. I'm not saying you also go 5 months because you haven't had anything of value to say. You have to find the value. But I agree with that completely. So I help to train marketers and then place them into companies. So a lot of times what I'm doing is I am working with the business owner to learn how to kind of manage this process, which is a little different, right? Because the business owner themselves is not doing the writing. You know, they're either hiring it out or they are letting their marketer do it, which is kind of tricky because then, you know, it might not be you as the owner. It might not be your voice. It's somebody else that's writing it. So since you are a person who goes in and learns how to write for people in their voice, like what are some tips and tricks that you might be able to offer these business owners as to how to convey their voice to the people that are writing for them?
Oh, this is such a good question. Okay, so from the perspective of the business owner, and I've been on the receiving end, obviously, as the copywriter who is trained and trying to get in someone's head. So I'm thinking about my most successful clients. And I will give examples based on what I saw them do with me that ended up, you know, supporting our process. One of the things was to really get quality FaceTime together, whether you can meet in person or for like intensives, whether it's digitally, like over Zoom or something. I remember one of the clients I loved working with the most, we would have, you know, these huddles basically at the start of the month, and I would get in her head and I would be like, so what's going on lately? Like, what are the kids doing? Like, what's going on in business? And she would have lots of ideas of what she wanted to work with. And, you know, as someone who runs a business, I think we all have so many ideas and so many things bubbling, and you can really leverage your copywriter as that sounding board. So having huddles or having FaceTime to just word vomit everything that's happening right now, they will be the ones to catch the gems and also capture your spirit as you're talking about them, to be like, ah, this is what's lighting her up right now. And also to hear how you naturally would be conveying those thoughts is really helpful. And doing it, you know, voice to voice and person to person is very different from tagging someone in Asana and be like, hey, promote this thing, right? So I think that really makes a successful collaboration. Mm-hmm. I think the second thing, obviously, is having some kind of a brand messaging guide to share with your copywriter, something that is very clear about our voice is this and our voice is not this. So for instance, our voice is witty, sarcastic, on the nose. It is not, you know, woo-woo or flowery or whatever. So knowing what you are and knowing what you are not is also very helpful for copywriters to know. And having at least some adjectives to describe your voice is really great, because also your copywriter might move on. Someone else might, you know, onboard, and it's important to have something in place. So something around your voice, your personality, your values, and really clear examples. What I always ask clients are, what are things you've written that you are so proud of or that resonated really well with your audience and created connection? And those really serve as tangible examples of this is the stuff and like this is the essence of who they are in their copy. And then I think having a really good process for like editing between you two, so that it's not like to the wire before you're sending something out. So whether that's batching things, or having at least like 2 weeks out from a deadline so you can go back and forth on a draft in Google Docs or in comments to just offer feedback. And I think it's really important to tell writers not only what is not working in a piece, but what is working really, really well, so that they can pay more attention to the things they might be doing that you are like, oh, I love this, but they don't know.
Oh, that's such a great point. Yeah, sometimes we tend to pick things apart and say, this doesn't work for me, this doesn't work for me, this doesn't work. It's like, but what we need to hear is this works really well. Yes, and then we can expand on that. That's great. And I love that about the editing time, because you're so right. How many times do we end up at the last minute and we're trying to edit via a Google document? Do you prefer with your clients to have conversations instead of editing in a document, because maybe you get more words from them about what it is that they want to say or not say?
Yeah, my process typically has like a really intensive kickoff. So, and you know, part of that is also getting to the root of their personality. And I have lots of questions I've honed in over time to really get to their essence. And for our process, then I will walk away with that and I will turn over a first draft. And I will let them sit with it for a few days and add their comments. And then we'll meet on a call to review. And, you know, then I'll get all the extra stuff that they didn't get to in the Google Doc, or they might be looking at it through a fresh perspective. Mm-hmm. And also, I would encourage writers on the other side to even record like a Loom video or a walkthrough of their copy so that they can also explain their attention or why they made certain decisions. So I think it's important for both sides to be really informed as you're working through a draft. And, you know, the other thing I didn't mention, but that I think is always obvious, is having access to consistent customer research along the way, so that, you know, the copywriter's job is to build the bridge between their voice and yours and like add their little special flavor in between. So it's really a team effort along the way.
Yes. So, okay, I think this is my last question. Do you think that anybody can be taught to write?
Absolutely. And I think it's because everybody tells stories every single day. Writing is simply another medium of expression. And I think it's not so much whether you can be taught to write, it's whether you want to learn to write, you know? And I think the challenge in the industry right now, or like I feel like in marketing, is that you become a business owner and you're automatically expected to be a brilliant copywriter who can sell all of a sudden. But that is not the reason you got into business. And, you know, unknowingly, you take that task on, and sometimes you just end up hating it, or you end up dreading it, or it gets really overwhelming. So I would really love for folks to learn to embrace writing for themselves first and their businesses second, because that yields a much more beautiful result and a much more connected relationship to your writing than the way we are typically taught to do it right now as we become entrepreneurs.
Yes, I agree with that completely. I feel the same way about just marketing in general. It's like, just because you started a business doesn't know you know how to market it and how to get yourself out there. And it can be a lot of pressure. And so it's great that there's the ability to do it, and there's the ability to find people like you who can help them find their voice. And so This has been such a lovely conversation. You have stayed so poised because what our listeners don't know is that, like, my kids started calling and, you know, we had audio trouble. And so we kept having to start and stop, which is just really hard when you're having a conversation. Just like in any conversation, it's hard to be interrupted and get your train of thought back. So thank you for being such a lovely guest and bearing with me through this. This has been really a fun conversation, and it's kind of taken me back to like my English class a little bit. Like I'm starting to go, oh, that's right. Like I'm supposed to describe all of these sensory images. And I think that as business writers, that when we do that, it makes our writing so much more interesting, so much less stiff. And so thank you for walking us through how to do that.
Oh, thank you for having me. And we survived. We made it. I'm so glad.
We made it. And you still sound so calm, which I just love that. That's just part of your nature. I love it. So thank you, Zafira. Thanks for tuning in to the Marketer for Hire podcast. I hope you've gained valuable insights to help you delegate marketing so that you can confidently get out of the details. If you enjoyed the show, will you do me a favor? Will you hit the follow button and leave a review and a rating? And if you've heard something that you think will help another business owner, be sure to send them a link to the episode. I'd sure appreciate it. And most importantly, before you go, I just want to say that I know your time is so valuable as a business owner, and I truly appreciate you spending some of it with me today. Thank you, friends, and I'll see you next time.